Welcome back to another week of the AMB Podcast. It's your boy Young Tamarack, and I ain't rocking with them other crews like Terry. And I'm here with some good people because my people is never not good. Let them know what it is, Stair.
Yo, what up? It's your man Stair, aka the finesse fella, aka Papa Stair, aka that nigga right over there, right by the stairs. You know that nigga right? Yeah.
Over there.
So what's good, my people? I'm glad to be back, glad to be podding, glad to be here. Let's get it started.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. And like I said, we're always with some good people because our people are never not good. But this week, we don't have a guest. We'll get back to having guests shortly. We just need to work on getting that coordinated. And this episode kind of came together spur of the moment because, I'm just not going to be available this weekend to record like we normally do. Without further ado, Alistair, man, how have you been as of late? What's going on? What's shaking?
I've been good, man. Back at work, like I said last pod. Originally, when I went back to work, I was with the older kids, like middle and high school. Then they said, we need you to go take a step down, work with the younger kids, you know, a little more attention to detail. I need an OG on the job. So they said, all right, we need Stair. And I said, all right, I'm going to be there. So I'm here with the people.
Respect.
And Nami's getting big as hell now. She's getting there crawling. As people are seeing on Instagram and all this stuff.
That's definitely wild.
Working on her modeling contract right now with Adidas. So shouts to them. So, wow. We're working.
Don't plug Adidas on my podcast, bro.
Three strike gang.
Nah, it's Nike down on this side, but that's neither here nor there. But I mean, not as great news to hear, man. What everybody always talks about when they have a kid too is watching the kid like kind of grow like right before their eyes. Like,
really lunchy.
Like watching a flower grow. So that's what's up. That's definitely lit. And I feel like you're going to see some more things that you're going to be like, damn, like this is wild as hell. So,
well, I feel like once I see her and like watch her stand up and like take a step, I'm probably
that's one step out of your life.
Yeah. She's gone. And I already know she's going to be like quick because she doesn't sit still. So I know she's going to be the type of baby.
I don't think most babies sit still, Alistair. See, this is what people try to do. They try to make their kids seem like an athlete beforehand before they even develop all the attributes early on.
It's just natural. They be like, yeah, you know what I'm
saying? Like, hey, my son, he threw that paper ball at me the other day. You know what I'm saying? He got a rocket on him. He ready to be a pitcher.
I've already put a basketball in her hand. She'd be like,
she'd be patting the rock off.
Patting the rock, cuz. You better watch out, cuz. I'm trying to tell you, man.
But it sounds like you had a pretty solid week, Alistair. As for me, my week's been pretty cool. You know, just coming down off the birthday high. You know how when you have your birthday the week before and then you try to go back to living your life normal, like you wasn't popping a week before. Okay. So like now I'm just kind of just going through the regular flows of the work week. Yeah, man, for me, I actually haven't worked out, which is actually really crazy. I've been chilling. I've been taking it easy. My birthday kind of threw me off schedule, like I said. So I'm trying to get back into my workout schedule. Just learning a bunch of new stuff on the job every day. As you guys have heard on the podcast before, I got into project management. So like I'm like managing a couple different projects at this point. And it's just real interesting to just work with people of different personalities and just knowing how to navigate in different rooms and knowing when to provide information and when not to. Mm-hmm. So it's been a ride, man. And I'm hoping that the journey doesn't plateau here. I'm trying to take it as far as I can. Yeah. So, but other than that, man, I've been cool, man. I'm in good spirits. I'm excited for the weekend. So
that's good.
From there, I guess Alistair.
Wait, hold up, because off camera we do have to shout out to the intern. He came back.
You know?
He's gone for a minute, but he's back now. So you know, had to shout out Dante.
For a minute, the hooded bandit.
What's good?
I'm back for another.
Off mic, off camera. What's good? How you been, Dante?
Come on, Dante.
I'm cooling, working, studying, living life.
Dante's crypt up right now. He's wearing all blue, even though y'all can't see him. We definitely bang red. Actually, we rep the Woo on this side. Actually, let me stop playing. You know what I'm saying? And for those of you who don't know, Woo is the gang affiliated with Pop Smoke and the rest of his rapscallions in New York. And they definitely are a mix between Bloods and Crips, which blew my mind that two groups of people who apparently don't like each other could come together to form a gang and do dance moves. So, But yeah, Alistair was right. We did need to let y'all know that Donzel was here.
He might chime in a few times.
He's definitely going to be here to provide the information that we need and to maybe provide some facts in the place of, in a factless place, because this podcast sometimes is very factless.
We walk that really thin line where it's like, this could be true. This is true.
Right. Like, for example, some cucumbers taste better pickled. And with that being said, Alistair, can you hook us up with the top five for this week?
Top five.
I will. I'm going to do top five, drum roll, guilty pleasures. Those are something like you do personally. It's like, oh, no one really knew about you. Yeah. You better, just drop it out there. What you got, Bryce?
Oh, man. Number one, beat my meat, bro. Because I'm like, what? Like, come on, son. Like, everybody knows, bro. Like, when you say it to be that moment, you're like, man.
Can't sleep
right now. Whatever the circumstances that you need for it to be right for you to, to start the fire up, and get it going. You know what I mean? So that there's that for sure. It's not so much now, but more so when I was coming up, I used to love the smell of gasoline.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
Gonzo's nodding in agreement.
Nah, because I know I'm not the only one. Yeah. Okay. Putting hella ketchup on shit, and people look at me crazy. They be like, yo, why you put so much ketchup on? And I'd be like, dog, what you mean? It tastes delicious. You know saying? These fries need ketchup. Only fries that don't need ketchup for other McDonald's joints. And maybe Chick-fil-A if they salt them right. Another guilty pleasure of mine. I don't think this is really a guilty pleasure, but I mean, I like singing like shit. So, I mean, and y'all niggas hear me all the time making up and singing songs all over the place. I actually just made a new song about BBWs on Voicy. So if you want to follow me on Voicy, you can check out my BBW song. I don't have a real title for it, but I'm going to go with I Want to Get With You. That's what it's called. So check that out. What else is a guilty pleasure? Shit.
Last one. Bring it home.
Yeah, I feel like, man, this is tough. Guilty pleasure. You might have to come back to me because I can't think of a last one off the top of the dome.
I'm gonna jump out.
Oh, hula hooping.
I would not have guessed that.
Okay. Yo, I love hula hooping, bro. I won a hula hoop contest before, actually.
Really?
Yeah. At Riderwood when I was working
there. Oh, wow. I thought you were gonna say like young, but Riderwood, okay.
No, I was at Riderwood and they had a hula hoop contest and it was like a bunch of people, a bunch of girls, mind you, and they was like, "All right, let's do the hula hoop contest."
They hot shit.
And they was like, "Oh yeah, we about to win." And I was just like, "Little does everybody know, bro, I'm about to fuck it up, nigga." So, that's it right there.
Okay. For me, first one I gotta say, watching like rom coms. I'm a big rom com guy. I don't know why. Like,
oh, you know what? It depends on the rom com, but I feel
nah. I like feel I'm a, as long as I can laugh them, on some dumb not shit, I'm gonna watch it. Number two, well, no order, but number two, I would say I like ripping shit. Like, I was that kid that my mom would be like, yo, rip the dude. I bet. Christmas, I'd go crazy on that shit. Number three on my list, I'm going to have to say I really like, it's weird. I like jumping into the pool, but I don't really like pools. So it's just like, yeah. I'm not a pool guy. I'm not a water guy, but if I can jump in, I'd be like, all right, cannonball, bet.
That's kind of wild. You have a late summer birthday kind of, so the pool is still kind of open.
Yeah, but see, the thing is, with my birthday, it was a week before my parents' anniversary, so it was kind of like an anniversary present.
Oh, so it was never really
about
me.
Yeah, it was, my birthday was never really about me. And then on top of that's like late vacation, last vacation before people go back to school. So it's like, Alistair's having a birthday.
We'll just get it in however we can.
Sorry, can't make it. Oh, okay. That's cool.
Damn. This podcast definitely reveals a lot of a lot of inner trauma. Let it out, King. Let it out.
I'ma say iPhone games. Like I got this one Toon Blaster jump that I'd be I'm on like level 1,246
like that, bro. Like you just gotta get the right one. No, I'll get one, bro, and I'll start playing it. But after a while, I'm just like, bro, fuck this, bro. I'm not about to play this no more. And I don't know what it is. But I just be like, fuck it, bro. Because I downloaded something that my man was playing called Johnny Trigger.
What's that?
It's like this shooting game where Cuz be doing a bunch of vicious acrobatic shit and jumping off of shit.
That's too much.
Then after a while, I was just like, bro, I just need a little swipe jump.
The little swipe, Toon Blaster, Bejeweled, all them. Exactly.
Y'all Candy Crush niggas?
Nah, not Candy Crush. Candy Crush some bullshit.
That's Candy Crush bullshit.
I don't fuck with that. That joke.
Nah, I ain't. Is that five? This is your last one, right?
This is my last one right here. I'm going to say I'm a dancing ass nigga on the low. Like, I might not be front row, like, hit the fuck. But, you know, I'll be in the back, like,
If this was New York, this nigga be front stage. Yeah. This nigga only dance with the New York niggas.
Nah, it's good.
Nah.
You
we know what's happening.
Y'all jump out there like, oh, it's a party, I got you. And I'd be like,
so you blaming us for having a good time? So it's limiting your good time?
There's only so much spotlight, bro.
Nah, there's plenty.
It's only so much spotlight.
There's plenty. There's plenty, bro.
When the music come on, Rad be like, oh, and then Bryce would go, and then they go, like, maybe go, and
I'll be like, Rad.
And then Rad be like,
and it would be,
and then it goes exactly, and I can't jump in like.
You can jump.
Huh. Nah, it's too much. It's too much
for a reason.
Yeah, this is true. This is true, but you know,
yeah,
he has his dancing partner.
Sorry, it's cool.
But I'll fuck it up on the low.
But and that was actually pretty solid top five. I wasn't expecting you to go with Guilty Pleasures.
Yeah, that's fine.
But from there, man, let's jump straight into it, man. This week in America. Dun, dun, dun. Niggas have lost their mind. Say no, it's not. But yeah, man. To start, I guess we can talk about. I don't even know where I want to really start. Let's start with. Hey, nah, you have some crazy topics on this list, bro. Wait, did we ever talk about Insecure?
No, we didn't.
And how it ended?
No, we didn't.
Okay. All right. So just to go into that real quick. So we're, what, like 2 weeks from the season finale that happened. Yeah. I'm sure everybody around the internet has gone into it and gone in depth and talked about it and broken it down and talked about the.
But if you haven't,
the mental connection between the two characters and how there's a protagonist and an antagonist and whatever. But so yeah, what happened in Insecure kind of blew me because I felt for Lawrence, bro. I was like, damn, bro. The fact that Condola rolled up on him and was like, yo, I'm saying my nigga, I'm about to have this baby. And like, for real, I wasn't even trying to have a baby last time with my other nigga because he wasn't 6'3" and didn't have a good fade. But like you, y'all like 6'4", got a good fade and you got a good job.
And I know you're a good nigga.
So and I know you're a solid guy all around, so I'm ready to have this baby. I want my baby to have good features. Mm-hmm. Granted, I'm definitely not embellishing. This is exactly what happened on the show. So if you didn't watch it, take my word for it. But yeah, to be on the verge of building his relationship with Issa and like getting it back to the point of where they're like, okay, we just want to be happy. We want to have all the good things for us. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? And for that to all just be halted at that moment because now he's getting ready to have a child with a woman who told him he doesn't need to be involved in the child's life, even though Lawrence is a good dude and is like not going to want to be a part of his first child's life. Granted, we're making a few assumptions here with
true.
Yeah, man, it goes into like the age old like argument of like, okay, is it like something that the woman gets to decide? Is it something that the guy gets to decide? Is it a group effort or like how does that go? So, I mean, to be completely honest. He's not about to be honest, bro.
No, I'm about to be honest. Because to be completely honest, not to comment on that, but to comment on something else just before we talk about this topic. I didn't want Issa and Lawrence to get back together.
What?
Why? I did not. Because I think that's corny.
Why?
I think it's too predictable.
What makes it predictable?
They broke up. They're still both on the same show. They get back together. That's predictable.
Yeah. I think... I hear what you're saying, but the show isn't about Lawrence and Issa. And I think that's where a lot of us got it fucked up. And of course, I mean, I'm going to paraphrase a little bit because I'll be watching the wind down afterwards. But yeah, the show is not supposed to be about Lawrence and Issa's relationship. It's really supposed to be about Issa and Molly. It's just that these other characters are there as like ancillary characters to help fill the story.
I think this season was about Issa and Molly.
No, if you sit down and really think about it,
season one, it was about Issa's life.
Okay.
Molly's life. Right. Issa's life contained Lawrence. They broke up. That makes Lawrence
an accessory character. So, yeah. But who's always been there? Like, no matter what. Like, what two characters have always been a constant in the show? It's been Issa and Molly.
Molly, okay.
So, it's like, okay, once you look at it from that perspective, you're kind of like, okay, I can see how, like, something like this could happen to kind of, you know, I guess maybe fill in the show a little bit. But I mean, how many people even watching this podcast, listening to it, how many people have entered back up with their ex or somebody that they were with before?
This is also true.
It happens a lot. So like for it to be predictable, it's like, okay, well, shit, nigga, look at you sitting on the couch. You're probably with the girl that you broke up with before and y'all back together again. So it's like, Like, that's just a part of, like, life. And I feel like that makes it, like, real. I feel like that, well, at least it tries to make the show feel a little real.
I just felt like Lawrence was, he was on his glow up. Had his fade looking right. He was getting his job right. Yeah, Lawrence had a good fade. He was getting his shit together. And that was without Issa. So I feel like...
Yeah, but I mean, people are going to make the argument of, like, okay, well... When Lawrence only did that because he realized that he was fucking up, and it took him losing Issa to realize that he was fucking up. But that's the thing
about life. When you get hit with quote unquote rock bottom, or you get that wake up call, it's like, all right, let's bounce the fuck back and glow up. Let's be who I need to be.
Well, that's your mindset, though. That's not everybody. Not everybody gets to bounce back. Everybody bounces back in different ways.
But to go back to the original topic, mm-hmm. I would say it is on the woman's first choice. Like, her decision is the major decision. I feel like if she includes you, she includes you. If she doesn't, she doesn't. But I feel
like that is fucking unfair.
Of course it's unfair, but it's her body. Unfair. What you gonna do?
Nah, sure, but like... Again, like, okay, it's her body, but then you're expected to take care of whatever comes out of her body, right?
Yeah.
So how come I have no say in what's happening here, but then I have to have all this responsibility on the back end of it? And that's why, I mean, in a perfect world, you know what I'm saying, mm-hmm. it would be something where you would team up and you would make that decision. But a lot of time, a lot of niggas be nutting and bitches that, like, they're really not, like...
And that's already like a society flaw. Like,
yeah, it is. I mean, I'm just saying, but like I said, in a perfect world.
In a perfect world, you have it your way to
be like, okay, well, all right, this happened. You know what I'm saying? I got this bread stacked up over here. We can handle it this way if you want to. I'd prefer for it to go this way. How do you feel? And then, you know, then you have it back and forth. Y'all weigh the pros and cons.
But at the same time, you can, as a guy, you can give your opinion, but the final say-so is going to be for it. I'm sorry.
No, I'm not saying I disagree with you. I just don't think it's fair for you to be like, okay, well, I want to keep it. And then if a guy's like, well, I didn't want you to keep it, so I don't want any parts of that. I'm going to do my own thing over here. But, you know, best of luck to you. You know, I hope it works out.
Because I feel like, I don't know how the show is going to go, but I feel like Lawrence being the good guy that he is.
He's going to take care of his kid.
He's going to take care of the kid.
Yeah.
So.
And that's all right. And what Issa said was she wanted her first kid. Well, both of their first kids basically to be with each other, right? So that taints Lawrence in her eyes. Now Lawrence is fucking expired.
I hated women on Twitter who's like, oh, Lawrence shit. Right. There wasn't even a Issa in the picture. And I was doing me.
There wasn't.
So you can't be mad at me for doing me. Yeah, you can have your be like, oh, you can be salty. But at the same time, if you want, I could just nut you. We could just get it popping two kids at the same time.
And then they grow up together.
Yeah. We both had a kid. You know, they twins. Fuck it. It's a few months apart.
I don't know. Part of me feels like there's going to be a little bit of resentment somewhere within that fold. Unless you have like two like people who are very.
I
don't even want to say mature, but I guess mature is the word I use because I can't find another word. But very mature to be able to handle a situation like that. I feel like most people aren't going to be cool with the fact that like. Oh, like you're like you got.
Oh, they won't.
Yeah, like
that's pride. That's pride, though.
So pride and ego.
Yeah.
And yeah, man. I don't know. I feel like that's just kind of. I feel like that's just kind of unfair. That like you can throw your opinion out there, but like it's basically like ask me what I want to order at a restaurant, then I order it, and you're like, huh. Well, we're not gonna give you that. Sorry. And it's just like, why even say sorry, my nigga, if you're not gonna give it to me? You know what I mean? So.
Yeah. All right, but I do have a question for you off Insecure. Molly and Andrew.
Mm-hmm. Dean.
Yes, essentially Dean. Mm-hmm. They had their falling out at the end. Do you feel like they have a chance of getting back together? Or do you feel like he's off the show?
I feel like they shouldn't get back together. Molly was just... she's just terrible, bruh. She's just real terrible, bro. It's just, and I'm going to say some wild shit right now. It's the Nigerian woman in her, bro. She's evil. So, no, let me stop. But, like, nah, like, for real, like, with her, everything was always an issue, bro. And, like, why would you want to be around somebody who every time, and like, anything, bro, that happened, bro, it's an issue, bro. Like, and then Andrew was so accommodating of her, bro. Mm-hmm. Like, so accommodating.
He tried.
And she couldn't even see him making the accommodations right before her eyes. If she would have recognized that, she would have been like, shit, Andrew's always sacrificing XYZ or adjusting XYZ.
Because off top, in the beginning of the season, it was, he's messing with other chicks. No, don't do that. Okay, I'm going to cut him off. That was day one. So then transitioning.
Nah, because she thought Andrew wasn't getting no bitches. That's why. She thought that nigga ain't had no game.
He got game.
And so she found out, and then she was like, oh, other bitches want the nigga that I fuck with?
Yeah.
I can't fuck with that. Which just, I don't get it. I don't really get it. But whatever, I guess. I just feel like it's like hype for a shoe, bro. Anytime everybody else wanted to jump, so now you want it. If you ain't want it before, now you want it. Or now you're more concerned about it. It's more precious to you. It has more value now because other people value it. Mm-hmm. Nah, you should have just valued it off top. Yeah. If that was something that you're saying that you wanted to do. But I mean, I guess people can reevaluate. You get the ability to change and make new decisions because you grow as a person every day, blah, 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 all that shit. But yeah, bro, at the end of the day, I feel like she wasn't valuing Andrew the way that he should have been. So
yeah,
she should have treated him like the Asian king that he is, and she didn't.
How do you feel? How do you feel like that vacation went? Because first off,
I mean, it went super south. It
was super
cool
south
at first, but then.
So my question to you is: when Andrew is in the hot tub with his brother and his wife, and Molly's purping, is that a damned if you do, damned if you don't situation? Because I don't, like, me and this girl were just dating. Like, I never told you, like, yo, this is wifey. This is what I'm about to engage to. We're just talking, dating, not even together like that. And you're gonna pick her over family?
I wouldn't even say it's about picking her over family. But it's more so like, okay, like, this is who I came with.
Okay.
You know what I mean? And like we already said, Andrew already made a lot of adjustments in his life to fit her. So obviously Andrew cares about Molly. You know what I mean? So it's almost as if like them going on this vacation, her getting introduced to his family, is like, okay, we're trying to incorporate you as well a little bit into this family. Just maybe the beginning stages of it, but not you're not on the outside. We want you to be a part of this inner, I guess, society or group that we have. And that's why he kind of was like, okay, well, I need to like kind of stick up for her because for one, I know my brother's a dick and I know my brother and I know Molly too, but I know them two don't know each other. Mm. So how can I find a way to make this work? You know what I mean? And it's kind of hard to, like you said, you have a personality in Molly who the second something flares up, it's like go mode, like the lawyer in her or whatever the fuck it is, like comes out and she's on attack.
And that, like, that towel situation, I was like, oh God.
Right. And oh, so,
God.
Yeah, the towel situation was, yeah. I mean, I don't know. I feel like, yeah, that's tough. I kind of felt just a little bit where she was coming from. Cause it's like, my nigga, why you gotta ask me for my shit? I just saw you get the, you know what I mean? Like,
but you
don't gotta blow it up to that point.
You don't gotta blow it up to that point. One,
but it's
two,
like, if you don't speak out about like, that shit, then who gonna speak out? Who gonna let people know that they're wrong?
But, and I don't know how the scene was shot, so I can't be like semantics and like, oh, this. But like, how does she really know that the lady never asked them for their card? She just saw them walk away with the towel. Like, they could have been like, oh, flash.
And I feel you. I feel you.
So like, I can't be like, oh.
But like, if I remember correctly, the person didn't have like nothing on them. Like, they literally just was like, they got the shit and then like they had left. So I was like,
damn, she's just doing her job. But at the same time, I definitely hear you because Bams be wild and Bams be taking their job too serious. Like,
a little bit when it doesn't even require all that. But hopefully they come back with another season and they continue to do great work. Because, I mean, I like Insecure. I think it's a pretty good show. I think it gives, especially us guys, inside look into, and I mean, maybe not every girl's life is like Issa's, but an inside look into maybe some of the issues or just some of the things that, like, I guess women of color are going through or like some of the discussions that they're having. Just a little insider into what it is. If you don't have like female friends that you're super close with or that you associate with on a regular basis. And it's just, I mean, it's a good source of topic in conversation because it brings up a lot of things that, you know, that we have going on and they touch on, you know, like women and like the whole pregnancy issues that they be having in the hospital, like the postpartum depression shit and all that. Like, I mean, we all like know of those things, but like we don't see it or like we don't get like, I guess, a real glimpse into what that's like. So I do appreciate the show for doing those things for us. And to shift gears, I made a reference earlier in the show where I said I'm not rocking with those other crews like Terry. That's a bar, by the way. Hey, if y'all niggas need somebody to write some bars for y'all, let me know. I'm saying I'm available. $5 a bar. $5 a bar. But yeah, Terry Crews, man, just recently. Well, I mean, for a little while now, it's been just talking some real, and I'm trying to find out a way to really put it, just some real All Lives Matter type shit. And I'm just like, yo, Terry, have you looked at yourself in the mirror, bro? Didn't you just like get groped by like a Hollywood executive, bro? Like, what's going on with you?
Who stuck up for you? Who was like, all right, you like 6'5", 370, all muscle. Yeah, your head looks like a peeled orange, but like, you know, we gonna rock with you, Terry. Right, like, but at the same time, you're not sending that same energy towards us.
Right. And what was his, and he tweeted something the other day. What did Terry Crews say?
One of his tweets was, I'm a human rights activist, not a human wrong activist. So,
what the fuck does that even mean? Yo, what are you talking about, son? I'm a human rights activist, not a human wrongs activist?
Correct.
Bro, just say you're not rocking with the Black Lives Matter movement, bro. Just say that. Just come out and say it. Because what he's basically saying is that, oh, the Black Lives Matter movement is like trying to control people and all this other like bullshit. And I'm just like, bro, that's not even what it's about.
Oh, I got another one for you, though. If you are a child of God, then you are my brother. You are my brother and sister. I have a family of every race, creed, and ideology. We must ensure Black Lives Matter doesn't morph into Black Lives Better.
I'm just trying to figure out where this nigga made the correlation to say we're saying that Black lives are better than any other lives.
It's because he's not paying attention. Like once again, it could be a celebrity in a bubble and he doesn't see anything outside of his...
Dude, the dude from Star Wars knows exactly what's going on, bro. And he's out there. He's in the streets. He's crying, bro. Everybody, he was literally in the streets crying, bro. Because he was like, bro, I could lose my... I might not get no more opportunities in Hollywood because I'm speaking out against all the injustices that are happening to people who look like me.
But Terry Crews needs Brooklyn Nine-Nine. So it's like, you know...
I guess so. He needs them checks. Like, what? Terry Crews been dancing and oiling himself up for years on screen, bro. I can't believe he acting in this unusual way because all that other behavior was unusual already.
As fuck. So big ass nigga with glow sticks. Like, dun,
dun, dun, dun. It's just really crazy for him to see that. For him to sit there and say that we're trying to make it seem as if our lives are better than other people's lives. No, we just want Black people's lives to be a concern of everyone else.
Yeah, 100%.
And at this point in time, it's not a concern for everybody else. So until it's a concern for everybody else, yeah, we're going to keep pushing the message. We're going to keep trying to get people to support Black business. We're going to keep trying to do the blackout days. We're going to do whatever we can to make sure that, okay, we're felt. Because at the end of the day, if we all decided to pick up arms and start fighting, we probably wouldn't be able to accomplish the goals that we want to because there'd be a lot of people who are going to perish. And the problem that we're already facing is people are dying. People are perishing. So how can we find a way to get change and reform? But Terry Crews is saying, literally, a Black celebrity, bro, who white people probably find hilarious because he's on shows like Brooklyn Nine-Nine. They're like, well, shit, if Terry Crews doesn't care about niggas' lives, why should I? Like, what? You're making it harder, bro. Yeah. You're literally making it harder, bro. And then I appreciate Don Lemon on CNN, like, attempting to put Terry Crews in his place, which I think he did put him in his place, even though Terry Crews probably didn't accept it. But... you know, for Terry Crews to get on a platform like CNN, where like not just one type of people watch CNN, all different types of people watch CNN. For him to get on there and be like, yeah, I don't want it to be something where Black lives are better. There's literally a guy somewhere in his house when he heard that, he said, yeah, I don't want them to think that their lives are better than ours. If anything, all lives matter. Like, no, bro, you're missing the fucking point.
And that's what a lot of people are doing right now. Like, people are like, oh, you know, there's a Golden Girl episode with Mud Mask. That's too close to blackface. Let's take it off. There's this Aunt Jemima girl on the syrup. It's too close. Let's take it off. Uncle Ben, let's get him out of here. It's like there's too many people putting light on things that are irrelevant. Because honestly, all we need is defund the police. All we need is our lives to care and matter and for us to be taken care of and protected. And us to go about our normal lives. Not in fear. Like, I shouldn't have to drive in my car and every time I pass a cop, I'm thinking this nigga's about to pull me over for no reason just because I'm black. And I'm about to, who knows what's going to happen after that.
Yeah, I'm hoping they start making like white people masks that I can like just maybe put on when I'm in the car. And then if I pass somebody.
I have to just get the little
side. I can do a pretty good white voice.
Jim. Oh, man. I didn't know. Shucks.
Robert.
Oh.
I didn't see you there.
Hey, Jim.
Going to the country club later? Gonna play some racquetball?
I've never played racquetball.
Me neither. I'm not a sports with equipment like or like a tool kind of guy. Those I don't know. It doesn't really work for me.
Hand eyes not there? Hand eye court?
Maybe I just haven't sat down and taken the time to like actually get good at them. But like I'm a person, and I feel like a lot of people may feel this way. When I start doing something for the first time, I want to be really good at it right away. And okay. It's just like when I'm not, I'd be like, I don't know, man. Maybe I should just probably do something else that I can be really good at off top. And maybe that's what my knack is. You know what I mean? But actually, in growing up, you realize that, like, yo, sometimes you really just got to stick to shit and, like, work through it. So I say all that to say that, yeah, Terry Crews, you're trash, bro. I'm not trying to fight you. Actually, if you want to punch me, I'll sue you and get that bread. But
we definitely hating on you this week.
Yeah, so, yeah, the object of the hate this week is Terry Crews. So, hate.
Yeah. To switch gears from that and show some love, shouts to my man, Patrick Mahomes, for being the richest NFL player in history and being a black man.
Sports player.
Oh, thanks. Thanks, fact. thanks for the facts, intern.
Gosh. And that's a fact.
Dontell.
Yeah, we need to get a, and that's a fact, drop whenever Donzel puts a fact in there. But yeah, shout out to Patrick Mahomes, man. Shout out to the mixed angel. He definitely, he took the NFL by surprise, bro. And I mean, I hate to be that guy to say I told you so, but I kind of called the Patrick Mahomes thing off top. Niggas thought I was crazy and they probably won't admit that I thought I was crazy, but it's cool.
Bryce is the quarterback whisperer now, huh?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I am.
Didn't know.
First it was Patrick Mahomes.
Then it was Lamar.
Then it was Lamar Jackson. Okay. So okay. I ain't gonna give you my insider tip for who it is this year, but
because you don't know.
Okay. All right.
This guy.
That's fine. Well, how are you gonna laugh at me if I've already been right two times in a row, bro?
Cause, like, cause, you know,
what? You don't pick up Jalen Hurts.
Yeah.
Nah. If Wentz goes down, yes, definitely. But
No. Because we can't get our wide receiver room in order.
I got Jalen Reagor, bro. You'll be good. He's a beast, bro.
So yeah, the Philly niggas, they want him to be the number one receiver. Because they're trying to get Deshaun Jackson out of here.
Yeah. Oh, man. Deshaun Jackson. I'm not 100% clear on what he said. You can pull it up. I just know the end of the statement ended with Hitler was right. And I think that's where everything went completely left.
Now, the beginning of the statement is Hitler said,
red flag. Off top. Bro, don't flag. Quote Hitler, bro. Don't, son. Why? Why would you, bro? What? Like, for real, son. Like, why, dog? Like, why, bro? The worst person you can quote. Bro, you can even quote Donald Trump. You know what I'm saying? But you don't quote Hitler.
Top five worst people to walk the earth.
Son, what? That's like quoting Gaddafi. It's like quoting Saddam Hussein, bro. Mussolini. That's like quoting Osama bin Laden.
Mussolini.
Bruh. But I'm sorry, Alistair. Go ahead, man.
Yeah, I gotcha. Hitler said, because the white Jews know that the Negroes are the real children of Israel, and to keep the American secret, the Jews will blackmail America. They will extort America. Their plan for world domination won't work if the Negroes know who they were. The white citizens of America will be terrified to know that all this time they've mistreated and discriminated and lynched the children of Israel. So he got that and was like, honestly, man, this is what I got. This is what I learned. This is where I read. I'm sharing it to y'all, the masses. All my followers, all my fans, listen to this.
Whose book is this, bro? That's the real question.
See, here's the thing. I was doing some digging because DeSean Jackson.
They talk about the Illuminati, bro, and that shit real.
DeSean Jackson is one of my favorite players of all time as an Eagles fan.
Look up if the Illuminati is real, Donzo.
And
I'm sorry, intern. Intern Donzo.
So I'm looking at it, I'm digging it. So apparently it's a loosely based random internet source.
The book?
That's not a real book.
So what the fuck is it?
It's not even a real quote from Hitler.
So what is it then?
It's a
it's somebody's interpretation of what they believe?
No, it's what's the actual quote? Because I looked it up on the Washington Post. And I got it, and it was like,
If you don't get it,
you don't get it.
It's a good
story. Because I was talking to my old coach about it. And he was like, it's strung together an entire ecosystem of impossibly far-fetched and completely unsourced conspiracy theory. Nothing.
Yeah, it has the Illuminati in there, which, again, I believe is real, but a lot of people don't think it's real. So, I mean, I definitely feel them on saying it's a bunch of far-fetched and cobbled together statements to equal one statement. But at the end of the day, bro, like, reasonably, we all went to school, right? Mm-hmm. Even DeSean Jackson went to Cal University. Great school. Probably didn't go to class. But regardless, we all know for one, if there's one thing that we all know for sure, bro, is that Hitler's a terrible, terrible, terrible historical figure. So if you see an article that's quoting Hitler or anything that's quoting him, do your best to either A, maybe not include the part that has Hitler in it, or B, don't use that quote at all, right? So I'm just trying to figure out, why did DeSean Jackson read that and be like, yeah, Hitler quote. That's what I'm going to go with.
If I can pull up from half court and shoot him some bail, I'm going to say he's kind of trying to say that blacks come from royalty.
Yo, I'm not mad. I'm not mad about what he's like the parts of it that resonate with me. You know what I mean? But I mean, I feel like it doesn't require the attack of
other people
in order to do that. You know what I mean? For him to say like, oh, the Jews are blackmailing America or whatever. I've heard even times where there was I can't remember where I fucking heard it, but there was a point in time where the Jews were coming together to try to, you know, put together coalitions and groups to enact change and get things that they need as a group of people. And they try to link up with the black people and make the same thing happen, but black people couldn't come together to make that happen. And so that's why the Jews are where they are. And granted, like, this is not a fact-based thing or anything like that. It's just something that I've heard before. And that's why the Jews have the status or the station that they have in life, mm-hmm. as opposed to where African Americans are, where we're kind of discombobulated and we're spread out. But you got to think, where did Jewish people come from? They're not all from here originally, right? But they managed to come here and put themselves together
and build communities and all that.
How? And how come we couldn't do that? You know why?
Why?
Slavery.
It all comes back to it.
Slavery. But yeah, at the end of the day, with DeSean Jackson's quote, like I said, I appreciate the parts of it that are trying to big us up as like kings and like the original people and all that type of stuff. But like Donzel just agreed with me on, you don't have to do it at the expense of other people. But he could have even taken that and like paraphrased it and made it different. You know what I mean? And that's why we run into the issue with people always telling athletes to be like, oh, just shut up and play your sport. That's because a lot of the time they don't do the research that they need to do to be speaking on some of the issues that are out there. And I'm not saying athletes aren't smart, because there's plenty of athletes that are very intelligent, very smart, 4.0 students. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? They could have went to school on scholarships outside of sports. But when you're going to say something on your platform and you have millions of followers, bro, you need to really sit down and make sure what you're saying isn't too far left. Unless you've already been that far left. If you've been that far left already, then you can stay there. You can do your thing. You can thrive in that environment. But if people have seen you in a certain way and then you say something different, not going to mess with a lot of people. The one thing where I don't agree with is if the Eagles are trying to get rid of them, Mike Brown said this online. Riley Cooper definitely said nigga and wasn't kicked off the team.
Sean Jackson didn't use any racial slurs. That was the same ownership.
Right, same exact ownership. GM. So that's why I'm kind of just like, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about that NFL and Eagles organization. Definitely. But shit, I mean, even the fucking Cowboys organization, man. Jerry Jones ain't said a damn word about fucking Black Lives Mattering. He ain't said a damn. He not going to either. Yeah, he ain't going to.
He not
going to
give y'all the patch, like BLM, right on the
iron. He might do that. Just put a patch on these niggas' jerseys. That's probably what he'll do. And it's got me conflicted as a fan, honestly. Because I'm like, damn, like, can I really keep buying merchandise from an owner who has a bunch of black players but won't say anything about their lives mattering or saying that we're doing everything we can to bring about change and reform? And it's something that's going to be hard for me to I guess, work through. Because I like being a Cowboys fan. It's fun. I like the team. I like the history of the team. But, man, it's kind of hard to sit here and be like, yeah, I'm gonna go buy me another Dak Prescott jersey and put some more money into Jerry Jones' pocket so he cannot care about people like me.
Donza, you also are a Cowboys fan. How does it make you feel?
I mean, I'm not surprised.
I mean, no, I'm definitely not surprised, but shit, like, at the end of the day, like, fuck, man. Like, damn. Like,
but, I mean, he don't have no reason to do it if none of his players are doing it. The two people that said something are players that just got there this year, so they have no obligation to the team, really. Mm. And they're older players, so they don't care no more.
Also, damn.
Zeke ain't said nothing. Dak ain't said nothing. Well, Dak did his...
Dak was trying to get paid. You can't blame him.
But Amari ain't said nothing. So, like,
But I don't expect guys like Amari Cooper to say nothing. Mm. Amari Cooper's not outwards, but he's not even the nigga that they interview after games. You know what I'm saying? Because he's not a outwardly spoken guy. So, I mean, who else are you going to... Like you said, Ezekiel Elliott is somebody who you would like to think would say something.
Zeke's too faded for that. You don't care.
Yeah, he is job faded. You my man, though, Zeke. I fuck with the fact that you get faded. As long as you don't do it... actually, you can do it before games, too, bro. As long as you get in the end zone. But who else is there on the Cowboys roster? DeMarcus Lawrence?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Baby tank at this point because he's not a full size tank because of what happened last season. Half tank, you know what I mean? But literally, that's it. There's nobody else on the squad who's going to be able to speak out about that. So I'm definitely torn. I'm definitely torn and indifferent about like the status of my fandom.
Even Michael Irvin, if Jerry Jones listens to Michael Irvin a lot, he can come on and say something to him, but it's not going
to
happen.
Jerry Jones is going to listen to Michael Irvin.
Yeah, you know, not sober Michael Irvin. Might have, maybe
coked up Michael.
Coked up Michael. He'd be like, oh, Michael Irvin, now
we're swerving. But not the other joke.
Are you trying to fix that?
Yeah, you just hit the button on the screen, and it's gonna rock the camera, bro. Hey, rock the boat, don't rock the boat, baby. Rock the boat, don't tip the boat over. But yeah, so. To move on from there, man, what else we got on the old notepad?
You want to go Larry Hogan or you want to go Thonmakers, little family member?
We can go Governor Hogan. We can go Governor Hogan.
So
he like fake my man.
It has come out that Larry Hogan, the governor of Maryland, has decided that he's going to try to put his efforts towards 2024 as a presidential candidate. Do you think he has a fighting chance? With everything that's gone and how he's helped Maryland throughout this process, do you think that
he's going to use? I don't know if I can answer that first part of the question right now because Larry Hogan has a few things that work really well for him. Like I think he's like the head of like the governor's. I don't know what the name of the organization is, but where all the governors come together and they like make plans for like their states and shit like that. Mm-hmm. I think he's like one of like the heads or chairs or speakers for that. Ugh. Beard hair.
It's a pubes.
But
where'd that come from?
Fuck. Oh my goodness. But I feel like especially with what's going on with the coronavirus and his handling of it, and him being really on the forefront of putting together that plan that all the states are supposed to be using in terms of rolling out in different phases. I think that he's been in the national spotlight and people have seen his face and people are getting familiar with Larry Hogan and how he operates. But still a lot of things that he does that you kind of got the question.
He's the most like Republican I've seen on Twitter.
Yeah. Yeah, he is. And I mean, he cuts funding to like fucking like schools and like shit like that. But I mean, like any politician is going to do things that you don't really fuck with. So, I mean, like it's so hard to be able to please everybody. Actually, it's impossible. There we go. Yeah. It's impossible. You can't please everybody. With that all being said, depending on who the other candidates are, maybe I'll vote for Larry Hogan because I do really like how he handled himself in this crisis. Granted, we don't know if the stats are juked and the numbers are false, but I mean, I've literally seen the progress of him talking about setting up all of these fucking testing stations, repurposing old buildings to set them up for testing, contact tracing, and doing things that a lot of other states aren't doing. Maybe, granted, I'm closer to Maryland because I mean, obviously I live here, but I don't see a lot of news about the great things that a bunch of other states are doing in terms of,
New York, but yeah.
The virus, right. And you hear a lot about New York because they're like one of the main states on the forefront. It's a big state. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I would say he has as good a chance as anybody now at this point to run for president. I'm definitely voting for him over Kanye if Kanye decides to run for president.
Kanye's running this year.
No, he's not, bro. And that shit.
Kanye.
What's crazy is, bro, I know there's people out there who would be like,
who's going to write him in?
Like, yo, Kanye's a genius, yo. Like,
out
my
the
beautiful
box.
Doctor Swift fantasy, think bro. Like, you tell him he can't run the country?
He gets 10,000 votes.
You said what?
He gets 10,000 votes.
Probably.
I probably get more than that, bro.
Yeah, I think you might get more than that.
Only way I vote for Kanye is if he sends out two free pairs of Yeezys.
No, what?
Of the
that's where your standard is for the entire country?
Let me finish. He sends out two free pairs of Yeezys. The ones that I fuck with, like he like sent out a card.
Oh, so you just gotta know.
Nah, everybody get to pick. It's like the stimulus checks, but everybody get to pick.
Okay.
Two pairs of Yeezys, and we all get one of those horses on his farm. If we can do that, then I fuck with it. But if I don't get any of that, nah, I'm good. Oh, and an original beat with the fire sample produced by him for everybody as well too, so everybody can like drop a track. So,
but not everybody can rap, right? We're just gonna make it our intro now?
I think everyone can rap. Now, can they rap well?
Okay.
It's the question you have to answer.
You got me on that one.
Yeah.
On that one. Sure. Me chiming my two cents in. I'm not really the political type. I need to do my research and due diligence. But I don't think Larry Hogan is charismatic enough
to be president.
To be president. I think with the Donald Trump presidency, I think everything has changed. So it's more of a popular, like Donzo said in the group chat when I was like, oh, it's a popularity race. It's always been a popularity race, but I feel like now it's, you gotta have the clicks, you gotta have the memes, you gotta have the quotes, you gotta have the gifts. You got like Kamala Harris as Joe Biden's VP is about to boom just cause she's Kamala Harris. She was the fun aunt that was doing the Millie Rock at her rallies and shit like that. So it's like, I feel like I don't see Larry Hogan doing that. I don't feel like he wants to play that game.
I think he's a standard politician, though.
Yeah, and that doesn't win anymore. Or else Elizabeth Warren.
Well, we can't say it doesn't win anymore. We've only seen an instance where Trump has become president once.
Okay, before Trump.
So just because something happened once, it's kind of an outlier as opposed to.
Before Trump was Obama, like a clean-cut, straightforward politician, or was he like the fun, loose candidate?
Nice. No, he's actually an extreme politician, bro.
I think it was compared to Mitt Romney, who wasn't a politician.
Bro, yeah, that's literally the only difference. Yeah. Oh, Barack Obama thing. I can't believe you think a black man ain't a real politician, bro. See, that's the problem
I said,
you got to open your third eye, brother. Because at the end of the day, we didn't land on Plymouth politics. Rock. Plymouth Rock landed on us, Because you can fool some of the people some of the time, but you can't fool all the people all the time, Because it's one fish, two fish, red fish, blue fish. All right?
The yellow ones.
That's where you got it fucked up, bro.
Okay. All fish matter, Just got to remember that.
I think I said all fish matter. I'm appalled. I'm so appalled. I can't believe you would say something like that.
All right, but to close our podcast this week, we have a new segment. We're going to do this or that. I'm going to throw random questions at Bryce. He has 5 seconds to answer. He does not know these questions. Are you ready?
Yeah, I am. Let's do it.
All right. This or that. Would you like to see a Paid in Full sequel or Michael B. Jordan play Scarface?
Paid in Full sequel.
Okay. Would you like to have...
Michael B. Jordan's terrible.
Would you like to...
Not a Scarface, Donzel. No, bro. No, bro. No. Next question, bro.
Would you like to relive senior year of college or senior year of high school?
Senior year of high school.
Okay. Would you rather talk to animals or breathe underwater?
Breathe underwater.
Okay. Would you rather have DW as a sister or DD?
DW, bro. DD's a fucking menace, bro. If there's one person that can fuck up a lab, bro, it's fucking DD.
And last, would you rather live in Bird Box or The Quiet Place?
Bird Box. Hmm. That's not an easy one, bro. It's not an easy one.
Okay. And that concludes this with that.
I like to sing, so I'd be fucked up in A Quiet Place. Yo. I'd be so fucked up. Because literally, I forget one day and just be like, oh, when the saints. Oh, yeah! Shit. Yeah, so. Yeah. Or Father Abraham has many sons. But that's just me. But thank you, Alistair, for guiding us through that first segment of This and That. Hopefully, we can continue to bring you some more segments as we continue to expand this podcast and continue to grow.
Evolution.
Like a chia pet, you know what I mean? And, man, is there anything that you want to leave the people with before we get out of here, Alistair?
This week's Stairs to Greatness. Don't lock yourself in your old ways. Always try to reinvent yourself, just like this podcast. Boom. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram, Dr_DoWork. Make sure you follow our podcast page, AMB_podcast. Make sure you check our YouTube videos. It's AB_podcast. You know, just upload that 100%. It's all good. Yeah. You know, they watch. Merch restock. We're working on that. Lord, shouts to you once again. As you see, we got the pink, we got the black, we got the blue, we got the white, you know, whatever you like. And more is coming soon. Also, like to thank Donzel as holding down as the intern. Can you give me a bottle of water?
Nah.
What? I was really about to like email you, like I nominate you for like this podcast internship, like scholarship, but like you know, fuck you, dog. All right, Donzel. Bryce, you can have it now.
I appreciate you, Alistair. Man. I ain't really got nothing prevalent to say. Just, man, like I always say, like every week, bro, pick your spots, hit your shots. That's what it boils down to. You know what I mean? Got to hit them high percentage jumpers. And with that being said, at the end of this episode, you're going to hear a new track from I'm Gonna Get It Done called Link featuring T-Boogie. Link me. This is the AMB Podcast. Thank you for listening.
We out.
Peace.
Link, 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 link Link up, link up, link up. Hey.